This is a podcast where you don't have to be perfect. You can be happy. Make your day count. Encouraging, uplifting, and full of joy. You're worth more than you think. This is entirely unconventional, and I'm Lindsay Roberts. I pray for something miraculous to happen to you today.
In times of great uncertainty, obviously in your lifetime, you've seen uncertainty before. Mm-hmm. What's different about these days?
When I was 12, my father died. He was a Marine. He was the strong man, in a sense, of our household. He could do and fix just about anything. I depended on him. I looked to him, and he was a car dealer. He could fix cars. He could fix houses. He could fix. In some ways, you know, he probably couldn't do it all, but as a 12-year-old, in my mind, I thought he could do everything. And so there was a stability. In our house, and we lived in a very large house, in the basement, which made it a very large basement, there were things like, let's just say, rooms downstairs that in the event of a tornado, because we had tornadoes in Michigan where I lived, there were provisions already provided for. It was very unusual. There were beds already ready in case you had to go downstairs and stay down there in the event of a storm. In addition, there were freezers, and there were things that back in the olden days we called it canning. We canned tomatoes. We had a garden. We had an apple orchard. We would have all of that provision right there. However, when I was 12, my dad died. And when you watch provision change as a child, and that provision didn't just change, well, my dad's here, things change, but my dad's here, he'll fix it. When the fix-it guy was gone, in my mind, the provision was gone. The dynamic of family was different. The dynamic of everything became different. And when you live a life where, in a sense, you seemingly don't have a care in the world, till all of a sudden reality sets in and you're not even a teenager yet, and you have to sit back and think, what about this? Well, what about that? Wow, I wonder if this is ever going to be the same. Wow, I don't think this will ever be the same. So I understood change right there. When I was 18, I was told I could never have kids. Now, my father died of cancer. So then when you hear words like that, that seem to be predominant in at least your own situation, you begin to think about things. I'm 18. I'm still a teenager. I'm barely, you know, going through the motions of life. I'm not even in college yet. I'm not even out of high school yet. But reality set in. A lot of diagnoses made a lot of sense to me because of the symptoms I had, the pain that I had, this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, flashback to when I'm 12. Those things don't leave your mind.
Right.
Unless, you know, there's divine intervention. They don't leave your mind. Mm-hmm. Graduated from college. Worked very hard. Sometimes I worked 3 jobs. I tutored, I this, I that. Listen, I can flip fries and burgers with the best of them, and I can talk to you about, would you care to add golden brown fries with that? I mean, listen, I know how.
Really?
Oh, my,
wait,
yes.
Have you worked fast food?
Is Burger Chef saying? And Jeff. Oh, my goodness. With my brother. Absolutely.
Burger Chef and Jeff is what it was called?
Yes. Oh, it was gosh. Burger Chef, not Burger King. Uh-huh. I think I would have eaten them out of house and home had it been Burger King. But I love Burger Chef. And you couldn't call them fries. They had to be golden brown fries.
Oh, really?
Yes. And if I recall, I'm so old. I think my starting wage was like 92 cents an hour. Now,
you're
that
kidding.
That, no. Don't look so shocked. Don't fall off the chair. You're that
that's
old.
Crazy.
But the truth is, I know hard work.
Yeah.
I do know hard work, and I believe hard work pays off. My father used to say, if you don't work, you don't eat. So I understood hard work. But that doesn't mean everything was easy. All right, I understood change. I understood hard work. I understood diagnoses. I understood a lot of things. But not like today. This is different. Today, when we see things with such impact, we see things even in elections, when you're looking at things during certain times of the seasons of the years, mm-hmm. we are looking at interest rates. That means a lot to me. We're looking at the ability to buy or sell a house. I'm sure people care about that, to pay your rent. We're looking at the price of eggs. This is not funny, but I have to giggle a little bit when I say this. There was a group of kids in our neighborhood that these kids were egging houses, And it's awful. And they didn't get stopped. And I'm like, okay, we've got to find a way to stop these kids because it'll take the paint off your house sometimes, mm-hmm. I guess. So we were having our houses egged. And we noticed, you know, when you get a chat with your other neighbors?
Yeah.
Used to be they were using dozens of eggs. Now they were hitting houses with only one egg.
That's how you know.
When even the little vandals have had to cut back on their egg consumption. Yeah. Right. You know that it's an unusual time.
Yeah.
I mean, we laugh about it, but there really was some truth to it because even the little vandals, I don't know if they were stealing them or buying them, but they would have had a difficult time buying them, mm-hmm. you know, just to throw at houses. When you think about where the world is, the price of gasoline... Richard and I sat at a red light, actually, one time, and we literally watched the price of gasoline. And I think, if I recall, I'd hate to say it for verbatim, but I think it fluctuated 40 cents. Hmm. I almost, you know, fell off my chair, so to speak. Those things concern me.
Yeah.
They don't concern me as, oh, dear Jesus, we're all going to... I don't mean that. But there is something going on that is undeniable. Mm-hmm. And the things we see on television... I never thought I would live long enough to see some of the commercials I see on television. And I think, wow, you know, as a kid, that kind of stuff was not allowed. And people can say, oh, you're old. Oh, you're old-fashioned. Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, you're this. You know, you can say all those things.
Right.
But if you see the progression and you pay attention, not to what's being said, but to the progression of where it was and now where it is, you have to think about where it's heading. Hmm. When you have young children in school, you think about where it was and where it is. And you do have to think about where is this heading. Then you can get into worry. You can get into fear. You can get into anxiety. When your bills, as Richard says, you know, he says it in kind of a funny way, but it's not funny, too much month at the end of the money.
Yeah,
that stuff's reality. When you listen to the things like we do through the Abundant Life Prayer Group, we get... You know, throughout the weeks and months, thousands of prayer calls. Those prayer requests are interesting. Sometimes it used to be for specific things. But the more we always survey to see, you know, what it's about. But the more we notice anxiety, worry. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times when there's a reason to fear. Okay, I'm in fear and there's a good reason. But then there's also worry and anxiety and it's the fear of the total unknown because you have no idea what's next. Do I get into that? I'm going to say in all honesty, I know Jesus as my Savior. I know God is my source. I believe in angels protecting us. I plead the blood of Jesus. I quote Psalm 91. Do I get into fear and anxiety? I can dive into fear faster than you can jump into a swimming pool in the middle of summer.
In what areas?
For me, I worry about my kids. Hmm. Now, my children are grown. Mm-hmm. And as a mom, I used to be concerned about my kids. But with the things I'm seeing, even in, like I say, I'm not getting into politics, but just things you actually see that are issues.
Yeah.
I'm very worried about the next 20 to 30 years of their life.
Financially, like livelihood?
Mostly financially, because even if you think you're financially sound... What about things changing? Yeah. What about inflation? What's going to happen to the dollar? Maybe not every mom is thinking about that, but I think about that. I think my children should think about that. Mm-hmm. I'm noticing, you know, my dad was a car dealer, mm-hmm. and back in the olden days, people went in and every year bought a new car, every couple years bought a new car. You don't see that as much. Maybe some people do.
Yeah.
But just the average kind of person, my car is older. My car is almost 10 years old, and people think, oh, yeah. No, it is.
Yeah.
I bought my car used. I think it had 9,000 miles when I bought it, and I think it's under 30,000 miles now, and it's almost 10
that's
years
pretty
old.
Good, though.
Yeah, but and see, that's just something I don't do. Yeah. So does the price of gas concern me to the point where I'm having panic attacks? No, because I don't drive 2 hours to work or an hour there and an hour back, but I know people that do.
Right.
And do I choose to be frugal with my car? That's my choice.
Yeah.
But I know people whose cars are breaking down and they don't know what to do. And that's not their choice. So I worry about that. I worry about those days with my kids. They all have jobs.
Yeah.
But what if those jobs dried up?
Yeah.
They all have either whether they rent or own a home. What if something changes in the economy? what if something changes here? That am I just being paranoid? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Right. No, I'm not that person. I actually went to college to become a tax attorney. I had a degree. I was in business administration, an emphasis in finance and pre-law. I'm not the kind of person that is the ideological, oh, what about? That's not my personality, right. Never has been. But I do read things. I do pay attention to numbers. I pay attention to statistics. That's where my brain is. I do look at how the economy is. I do look at the numbers of the stock market. And I say, you know, this is interesting.
Yeah.
When we look at the Bible and we look about wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, gross darkness covering the earth, we are seeing things that, all right, let me give you an example, a pandemic. The last really, 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 really bad flu epidemic, I don't think it was called a pandemic, I think it was an epidemic, I was involved in. And I think it was back in the 60s, Hong Kong flu, if I remember right. My father just died. And I believe that's what was going on. I was just young enough not to have fear and trepidation. But when you're living in a country that cannot stop something that became a pandemic, and you live in cities that are in lockdown, and you see a food shortage, I'm not saying you have to worry, but I'm saying if you have a thinking process, you should maybe be concerned. All right. If we listen to the state of what's going on, they always talk about the next one. What's coming next? What's coming next? That can put fear into you. And as a parent, as a mom, as a wife, as a person who knows a lot of people that are in need already, that worries me. And I know we're not to worry and be anxious. The Bible says be anxious for nothing, but I am a human being. I have a logical brain. Sometimes it's too logical. Yeah. Sometimes I analyze data too much. But on the other hand, I don't want to be that ostrich with my head in the sand. Does it worry me? Yes. Should I worry? No. But realistically, do I? Yes.
Right.
It's staring us all in the face. And do I want to be ideological where it's like, oh, but God will protect us? Yes, right. God will protect us. But in the middle of God will protect us, I'm still a human being in human flesh, and I have a soul, my mind, will, and emotions, and they can travel to the ends of the earth without me leaving my chair.
Right. I know it's very helpful for you to acknowledge that, because I think most people, especially when you're talking about people in ministry or those that are big proponents of God's word and faith,
yes,
and you can live above the storm, and all those things are true.
Yes.
Sometimes you think, well, yeah, but what about, then am I weird? Is something wrong with me? Because like you're saying, I do have these fears in the back of my mind. I do have these concerns. So what do you do with that? And before you give me an answer, it's like, everybody already expects you to say, quote the word of God, pray, give, like,
and I do all those things.
And those things are all important, but like, maybe even when you're in the throes of those moments, you know, watching a commercial, everything in our world is about what's trending, right? Like, what's the trending sound? What's the trending social media thing? But then we're also watching the trends of the trends of where politics are going or the economy is going. What do you do when the trends aren't heading the way that you want them to go?
I have a couple of really unusual answers for all of that. One goes back to Hebrews 11 says, having died in faith, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Sarah, by faith through faith in faith. And in I think 33rd or 34th verse, somewhere in that area, it says, what more shall I say? The just shall live by faith. Four times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Mm-hmm. When you look at that, that's where we're supposed to live.
Yeah.
And I love that. But when my son died, I can't tell you I wasn't in faith. And to be honest with you, I'm going to be a little bit snappy here. Anybody that says, well, you just didn't have any faith, I beg your pardon, and I beg to differ with you, because I really believed that God would heal my son. I believed a lot of things that didn't come to pass. And I spent a lot of time asking my father-in-law, a guy by the name of Oral Roberts. And I said, you know, you've had things happen in your life that didn't go, as I called it, tiptoe through the tulip and sprinkle fairy dust. And I said, why? And he said, because we live in the real world. This is reality.
What does that mean?
Because Jesus purchased our salvation and healing on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says he defeated death, hell, and the grave. I do believe that. But Satan, while we can take our authority and take our place commanding him to take his hands off of God's property, there is a scripture that says no weapon formed against you shall prosper or has the right to prosper.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't mean that weapons won't be formed against you. And Oral would say, we live in the world.
Yeah.
In this world, you do have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. Now, we're not robots, Nick. We're not robotic. We don't sit in our little robotic form. People press buttons and we turn around and spin three times and we make the world go away. It doesn't work like that. If we were robotic, we wouldn't have emotions. And if we didn't have emotions, we probably would be doing a whole lot more than we're doing right now.
Yeah.
But I am in a human form. I'm in a human shell. I'm in a human body. In that body, I have a brain. My brain does function. And in that functioning, I have emotions of fear and worry and torment. Yes, I have to pray them down. Yes, I have to work through things. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. Well, why would you resist him if he's not doing anything or coming against you in any way? And may I say this? Oral used to say this to me, and I will say it very vehemently.
Mm-hmm.
Satan's good at his job.
Hmm.
He's good at his job. He was up in heaven as Lucifer, the pipes, the one that was the worshiper before God. He knows the Bible. He right. knows the word. He knows his job, and he's good at it. We as Christians sometimes spend so much time dealing with what kind of a car do you have, what kind of shoes you wear, what's your, you know what? Instead of, here's how I grew up. I'm just going to give you a background of, yeah. of a non-Christian approach, although mm-hmm. I had a Christian family. My father used to say to me, don't reinvent the wheel. It's already been invented.
Hmm.
But he'd say, study the wheel and find out how they did it. And then do something creative like that. Do something innovative. Do something inventive.
Hmm.
He was always looking. He was always seeking. He was always changing. He was always tweaking.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's out there.
Yeah.
So instead of being jealous of the wheel or jealous of somebody else's wheel or my wheel's bigger than your wheel, he would study that wheel and make a decision how to either make it better, yeah. make a different one, make something, a different prototype, something similar. And yet in Christianity, if we could learn from those who are succeeding, who have their bills paid,
yeah.
you know, I had a person comment, take me on.
Yeah.
Vehemently take me on. And they started the word hate. Every other word out of their mouth was hate. So I was like, okay, there's a hint. I hate that prosperity gospel. I hate prosperity preachers. They're supposedly Christian. Mm-hmm. With that much hate. My theory was really weird because this person was not prospering and this person was not being in health even as their soul prospers. And I thought, you know, what would happen if you just studied them? Study somebody, even in the world,
right.
that's successful. And learn how they did it.
Yeah.
Instead of wasting my breath, my energy, my brain cells, my mental monopoly, my space in my brain, my thought processing, my emotions on something that is counterproductive, not just non-productive,
yeah.
but counterproductive, why don't I see how successful people pulled themselves up by the bootstraps?
Yeah.
And at least pay attention and learn. And I feel like in today's life,
mm-hmm.
I am watching the world get ahead and Christians scramble. Is some of it their own doing? Maybe. Is some of it not their own doing? Maybe. Is some of it just an attack of Satan? I'm going to say yes to that one. But if we'll come together and understand the word of God, and maybe not so much logic that you don't pay attention to the world, but you know, so much in the world that you're not reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And see what does God say. Believe the Bible. And then there's a scripture that is not my escape clause, but I use it for one. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Mm.
When that scripture came up, do you remember Jesus bashing the person? No, because he didn't.
Right.
Do you remember the Lord screaming at the person? No. Do you remember him making some huge example of it? No. Why? Right. Because he didn't do it. When we have honest doubt, I believe we can go to God. With our honest doubt, we can say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I can listen for what his answer is. But to act like I don't have problems
right.
would make me a robot, and right. I'm not one. Hmm. There are days I wished I were. There were days I wished that my brain cells would just relax and that my feet would do the dancing and my hands would raise and praise the Lord. And then when somebody pushed the button, my hands would go down. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
When I see someone hurt, here's an interesting scripture, that we're to rejoice when we see others rejoice, but we're to hurt when we see others hurt. Mm-hmm. God knows we have emotions. And if we have them, can they run away with us? Yeah, if you're human, I believe they can.
Right.
So what do? I like to pay attention and actually allow my emotions to be real, mm-hmm. raw, whatever you want to call it. And then once I recognize it, I go to God. Mm. Does it always go away instantly? No. God is not my laundry list that I only worship him because I get to check off the boxes. I have to trust God. Have I seen things fail? Yeah. Have I seen people fail? Yes. Have I seen Christians fail? Yes. Have I seen failure in my own family? Yeah. We're human beings.
Right.
Have I seen others in the world that are just so worldly, it's ridiculous, and they get a pass even by lots of Christians, yeah, and like they that. Might even be like hailed by lots of Christians as the standard to really look up to?
Yeah.
Strangely, yes. But some Christian who tried and made a stupid mistake, gets crucified. Now, wait a minute. That, to me, is scriptural. Hmm. The accuser of the brethren is the devil. He's good at his job.
Yeah.
And if we'll recognize that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, we'll recognize we are in the world. We don't have to be of the world, but we are in the world. Hmm. And in that, spend a lot of time praying. Hmm. I think that we give prayer a pass-through sometimes. My mother-in-law used to have a term that she'd say you have to pray through. And I'd say, I don't get it. I never heard the term pray through. And she'd say, pray through till you get the answer. Stick to it. Get through it.
Right.
Until you get the answer. That made a lot of sense to me because in the microwave society we live in, I'll tell you what, you get in a long line behind some coffee shop and you can see people's feathers get ruffled. You can't press those beans or roast those beans and grind those beans and make that milk and milk that cow and do all that it's going to take to do it. But if you have to wait an extra 30 seconds, your claws come out sometimes, or it seems that way. We live in a get an answer quickly society. Prayer answers don't always come quickly, and they don't always come what you want.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Entirely Unconventional. If it impacted you, please consider leaving a review and giving it a 5-star rating. To order Lindsay's new book, Discover Your True Strength, visit discoveryourtruestrength.com. To connect with Lindsay on social media, you can find her at Lindsay Roberts Official. See you next week.